Hi, I'm Scott Clapson here on KCIW. This is the LGBTQ Spotlight. I am here with Tammy Kaufman from Gold Beach. Tammy, how are you?
I'm good today. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for joining me. Tammy, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm pretty much a Gold Beach native. I moved there when I was 8, and I'm a property manager by trade. I did spend some years away from Gold Beach, but I came back to my home. I am on the city council in Gold Beach. I've been appointed twice and elected twice. That's kind of fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. So you actually launched a campaign. So it's a volunteer position with the city council?
It is a volunteer position. I was first appointed back in the 90s, and then I finished that term and decided I didn't want to run. And I got involved with the budget committee and the planning commission, did that for a long time. And then in 2010, there were 3 people that resigned from the city council. So I went ahead and got reappointed to the council. And then I ran for election in 10 and then again in 14.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. So you're completing your second term.
I'm working on my second elected term.
Yeah. Any plans after? Like, do you want to continue your involvement in politics or?
Yes. That's pretty much what I think I'm good at.
Okay.
I'm good at what I do at work also, but
yeah.
I have a natural ability to understand government and people, and so I think that's something that's important. I'm actually going back to school to finish my degree so I can do more.
Oh, really? Where are you going back to school?
It's through the Southwestern Oregon Community College University program, so it's Eastern Oregon University online.
Oh.
And
cool.
So I'll be done this fall. So I'll be done by Christmas.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So that'll be a what level of degree?
It'll be a bachelor's in philosophy, politics, and economics.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm a nerd.
No, that's awesome. We have a lot of really amazing people in our county, and sometimes people don't always know, you know, their educational background, and people don't also know that you can, you know, partner with these universities as well. And get your degree. That's a really awesome. Maybe, do you want to tell us a little bit about what led you to go into the university program with this?
Actually, it goes way back. I was on the original Gold Beach 2010 committee that actually asked the college to annex to Gold Beach, to Curry County. And Curry County, at that time, Measure 5 had just passed, and taxes were going down. And so literally, it didn't cost the taxpayers of Curry County anything to annex to the district.
Oh, wow.
And the chair of the committee back then, Larry Minnick, was very good at negotiating, and he got the first $1 million saved towards the campus that eventually got built in 2010, which is kind of interesting that 2010 was the committee that got it annexed, and we finally got the building in 2010. So,
yeah.
And I got my associate's degree in 2002.
Okay.
Through Southwestern Oregon Community College. So I ended up taking advantage of a program that was on. That was my first start in any community involvement was the 2010 committee.
Okay. And then you, have you had to go to Eastern Oregon University at all, or has all your studies been here in Curry?
I have never been to the campus. I'd like to go someday and at least meet some of the professors.
Yeah.
So you listen to them online, you watch videos, and you never meet them. It's kind of interesting.
So it's all on your computer?
Pretty much all on my computer.
Wow.
Now, when I first took classes at Southwestern Oregon Community College, I did do classes here in Brookings, classes in Gold Beach, and then some online. But now everything's online.
Wow, that's very
I've done
cool.
two classes where I had to travel to one weekend.
Okay.
So.
And that was just up to Coos Bay, though, not to...
No, actually, one was in Salem. It was on legislative process. And that actually wasn't a weekend. It was 2 weekdays. And then I took one that was actually a weekend up in Portland.
Wow.
And that was last fall.
That's really awesome. Well, very cool. Well, congratulations on your soon-earned degree. And you have a Facebook page for, I was doing some research on you, and you have a Facebook page where you can like Tammy Kaufman as a political figure.
Yeah, it started out as a an election.
Okay.
Last election, I was unopposed, but I had a write-in candidate against me. So a friend of mine put together a candidate page. And so I thought, well, now I'll just keep it because I've got these likes, and I just changed it to my current position.
Oh, wow. So someone created it for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. See, well, that just shows that you're naturally a leader, right?
Yeah. I have great friends.
Yeah. Someone came alongside of you and asked how they could help support what you're doing. It's really cool. A lot of people don't always realize that our leaders in a lot of these smaller communities, they're not paid. Our mayors and our city council people, they're volunteering, and also a lot of committees under that as well. So that's really cool. Thank you for all the time that you dedicate to that. So you have some other passions.
I do. One of my most difficult volunteer positions is the Citizens Review Board.
Yeah.
And that's it's a unique position. It's a judicial appointment. And what we do is review cases of children in foster care, and we make recommendations to the court. It's one of the hardest things I do because I have to read these cases of children that are in foster care and the sad relationships with the families. And some of the recommendations are whether or not they should go home or not go home, whether the parents are making progress, whether DHS is doing their job. So it's a difficult position, but it's also very rewarding because when we do make recommendations, the judge does read them, and sometimes they make changes, sometimes they don't. So it's an important part, and I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of youth in need in our communities that sometimes are lacking the resources.
Yes, we have a lot of issues here with drugs and alcohol mostly.
Yeah.
Problems.
So as far as that with youth, how did you get involved? You said it's a judicial appointment?
I have friends that work at DHS, and I had mentioned that I'd always wanted to be a CASA, which is the court-appointed advocate for the children in foster care, but I didn't have enough time. And they said, well, why don't you do CRB? And I had never heard of it. And so that's how I found out about a Citizens Review Board. And I started that in 2010 as well.
Oh, wow.
And it's a 2-day training, and then we train annually to keep up on the current laws and, how to do what we do.
And this is all volunteer?
Yes.
This is all volunteer. Wow, you're amazing. That's two things that I imagine takes up a lot of your time.
The Citizens Review Board isn't too bad. It's a lot of reading before the meeting, but it's one day every other month.
Oh, okay.
So I do probably 3 nights worth of reading and then a whole day usually reviewing the cases.
Wow.
And it's a 5-member board, and we have a person that works for the state that comes down and helps us.
Wow, cool. And I met you through an entirely different way.
You did.
LGBTQ spotlights are going to be happening every month. To highlight a different member of our communities along the Wild Rivers Coast for these great last Sunday of the month things that are happening at Oxenfree. Very thankful for Oxenfree and the space they're making available for these. They happen the last Sunday of the month at 4:00 at Oxenfree. But we met through PFLAG.
Correct.
And that was a while ago. That's probably not long after I moved back here to Brookings, because like you, I returned after going away and learning a bunch of stuff and coming back to my home as well in Brookings. So what's happening with PFLAG?
PFLAG is a support group for lesbians and gays, transgendered, bisexual, intersex, queer people. And we started the program, I was actually on the founding committee in 2010. A group got together and decided that we needed some support, and so we put it together. We have meetings, usually monthly. We've had a little bit of a problem with leadership, so we're down to just having picnics right now, but we will get back into the meetings shortly. But we're always available on Facebook, and we have a really good website that's maintained. So PFLAG Gold Beach, I believe is what it's under. So if you want to search for that.
And PFLAG is an acronym, correct?
It used to be. They changed it. It's not anymore.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense to me, just PFLAG. But it used to be Parents, Friends, and Families of Lesbians and Gays.
And that's not what the acronym stands for? It's just called PFLAG?
Now it's just called PFLAG. We're supposed to be our own name, and everybody knows what it is. But a lot of people don't know.
Well, because I've also, there's people in our community that have family. Tammy and I were talking about this before the interview, that when each of us chooses to come out, we're not just coming out for ourselves. We're oftentimes in a small community like this, we're outing our family as well. And so I've actually seen people that I know in the community at these meetings before, because they alternate. There's a one in Gold Beach and one in Brookings when they have them during the month. And it was really cool to see that families that want to be supportive and want to figure out like how they can, be a part of ways, because there are a lot of LGBTQ people in our area. So that kind of puts you in a small community like Gold Beach, that puts you out, kind of being out like that and being a part of PFLAG Does that create any problems for you, or do you have you gotten a good response? Or
I've had a tremendously positive response from the general community. Most people knew I was gay before I did, and I didn't recognize I was gay until I was 41.
Oh wow!
And so I was a late bloomer, but that was in 2010, and I was probably the most homophobic person you'd ever meet.
You were homophobic?
Oh, very much so.
Really?
And I was not very nice to gay people. A friend of mine says, when you know better, you do better. And so that's one of the reasons I'm involved in PFLAG, is I feel like I need to give back to a community that I wasn't nice to. I mean, I wasn't outright mean to anybody, but I certainly wasn't supportive. I was not an ally.
Yeah.
And that's one of the fun things about PFLAG, is we do have allies. People mm-hmm. that aren't related to anybody gay, don't have any LGBT friends, or they do have friends, but they don't have any family. They just come because they think it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate those people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great community. I love Gold Beach. I love Curry County. It's a great place. People have been really nice. It's the super religious people that have an issue, and most of them are just silent. They don't talk about it. So, and that's been a benefit for me.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a benefit, because I know a lot of people are scared. They're scared of people knowing. I came out at 15 and told my parents, I think I'm gay. And my mom is one of those conservative religious people. And it's just something that unfortunately, we don't get to talk about much. And it's a source of frustration for me. But living in a small place like this, when you are out, but like you said, everybody knew. Like so many people, when I came out, they were like, and? Like, we've been waiting for you to talk to us about this, because we've been talking about it already. And it kind of makes you feel self-conscious. But I hope it's okay, maybe, if we talk a little bit about, you said that you had homophobic attitudes, but yet you yourself identify, you know, like, can you speak a little bit about that? Like, how it's possible for someone who is, you know, like, I identify as queer, I could still be homophobic in my behavior.
Oh, certainly. I was raised I graduated from high school in 1986. So I was raised in a very conservative family. I had a very conservative church, both upbringing, and I had a very conservative church that I attended for years. And we were taught that gay people were wrong, and it was a choice, and how dare you even consider that choice? And the person I was the meanest to was myself. I mean, I had this feeling that there was something rotten about me. I was rotten to the core, was the word I would use. But I really wasn't that bad of a person. And so what it was is I knew I was gay subconsciously, but I couldn't understand that. I didn't have the words or the understanding. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was a choice. And yet I was 41 years old, never really dated.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. I look back at pictures, I'm like, whoa, how did we not know? So it was hard for me, you know, personally to do that. And I still struggle sometimes. The first thought that comes to mind is a negative thought about, and then I have to think, wait, no, let's rethink that. And what works for me really well, and that's another reason why I like having LGBT friends, is I can look at you and say, Scott, I love you. You're great. You know, you got a boyfriend. That's awesome. That's really cool. And I can support you and love you. And so then maybe I can transfer that to myself, that it's mm-hmm. okay that I have those feelings, and it's okay mm-hmm. for me to do that. So it's been very helpful to me to be around other people. And I think that's one of the reasons we need to be out mm-hmm. when we're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not always growing up here for me, you know, graduating in 93, it's not always the safest place emotionally, because sometimes I grew up in a conservative Christian home as well. And the first thing that was told to me was I needed to go down to the altar and pray about it and seek counseling and do all of these things. And it was ironically a counselor at a Christian college who finally said to me, Azusa Pacific University, thank you to the gentleman who counseled me on this, and said, I really think you should consider, you know, that maybe this just isn't about your sexuality, that maybe, and that's why I've started identifying as queer, because to me it's just not, you know, who I'm attracted to. It goes beyond that. It carries over into so many other areas of my life. So what's next for Tammy? Like, where do you see yourself? I mean, obviously staying in Gold Beach, but.
Yeah, I plan to stay in Gold Beach, or at least in Curry County. I'm probably going to run for an office in 2016. I haven't decided what.
President?
Won't be president. I would not do that to my family.
I keep asking Cammie if she's going to run for president, and she keeps saying that. But maybe someday. County commissioner or mayor, local, do you know?
Something like that, yeah.
Something? Okay.
I think eventually I'd like to be in state legislature.
Okay.
So that would be a long-term goal.
I think you'd be very good at that.
And I am a Republican, so a Christian.
You just double outed yourself.
A Christian lesbian Republican from Curry County is kind of unique.
That's like a quad, like, quad identity right there. That's really funny.
Some people would describe my political views as more libertarian, you know, okay. Socially silent, financially yeah. conservative. So it's kind of an interesting combination.
I would have thought of you as a libertarian before you added yourself to me as a Republican. So, yeah, we were making jokes about that again before the just kind of what we identify as politically.
You know, it's interesting. You get whenever you're different, people pick on you. Mm-hmm. And we talk about bullying in school and stuff. That doesn't change when you get older because we tease each other. Oh, you're a Republican. Well, you're a Democrat or you're a nonpartisan or, you know, you're gay. You're straight. You're mm-hmm. dating somebody younger. Or, you know, look at your kid, you know. It we always do that to each other. Mm-hmm. We point out the differences. And sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to be conscious to care about each other and make sure that if we say something that we're polite. Because I get as much trouble with people for being a Christian Republican from the gay community as I do for being gay from the conservative community. So,
yeah,
we don't fit into the perfect stereotype. People don't like that. And. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay with that. I can yeah. be different.
We have a lot of, as people, we have a lot of different identities. As you just pointed out, there's all these intersections of who you are. And I think sometimes that gets lost, especially in a place where you see the same people every day, you know, along, you know, mm-hmm. in Gold Beach on your main street, in Brookings on Checo Avenue, in Port Orford, you know, in Crescent City, wherever you're listening to this. And we sometimes forget that we're multidimensional people. And sometimes those identities that we feel like we are change, you know, and who we are changes. And our comfort level of who knows, you know, especially in such a small community and outing maybe someone who's not comfortable with everybody knowing who they are. And that's their right to choose that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you said that because recently the state legislature looked at reparative therapy and it was banned in Oregon. And there was a concern that the Senate was not going to take it out of committee. And so there was a call to write your senators and talk to them. And so I pretty much emailed them, all the people on the committee, my story and asked them to vote in favor of it. I got one response and the Republicans did not support that measure, but it did pass. But it was another level of outing myself mm-hmm. and sharing my story at a different level. And that mm-hmm. was hard for me to have people look at my story and what were they going to say and how are they going to look at it. And again, the people that were against it were silent. So mm-hmm. I was very lucky in that I didn't get any negative feedback. They just ignored it. And I think that's progress.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For those of listening here on KCIW, can you tell us what reparative therapy is?
Reparative therapy, and by the way, the ban was for 18 children, so it was under 18. Reparative therapy is a type of therapy that's done by licensed counselors, and they try to change your sexual orientation by telling you you're wrong, you're bad, you need to change this. And it's not been healthy for youth. It's actually not healthy for adults either. And so by banning it, it was basically anybody that has a license cannot provide this therapy. Mm-hmm. One of the things I didn't see come up in the arguments is that part of the reasons people are licensed therapists is so they can charge insurance companies. Anybody in Oregon can be a therapist, but if you want to charge an insurance company, you have to be licensed. So sometimes it's about money. So, you know, if you're going to do, it doesn't mean clergy can't do it or, yeah. you know, pastors can't do it. But if you have a license, you cannot. So it was a good bill. Governor Kate Brown signed it. So it is a law now.
Wow. Interesting. Our openly bisexual governor signed it. Yeah. The whole ex-gay reparative therapy, like, I went to Exodus International in Los Angeles and just, you know, tried that because I was told by so many people that, no, that's your path. This isn't who you are. And I was just like, but this is so beyond just like my sexual orientation, and people couldn't understand that. And it's just interesting that there's still so much talk about that in 2015 that people just can't understand that people are people and we're all different and we all have all those intersections.
You know, another thing that I did that was really helpful for me this year is I went to the Gay Christian Network. It was actually in Portland, which is why I went. I didn't have to fly anywhere. I thought, it's close enough, I'll go check it out. And it was an amazing experience. I met a doctor. She's from the middle of California somewhere. And she's a specialist. She works with neonatal babies. So very, very specialized, very intelligent. And she wasn't out. So you have this extremely successful person, very smart, everything, but did not feel comfortable being out, and had to hide her relationships from her family and from her workers. But she came there to try to find, you know, some peace and try to reconcile, like I did, try to reconcile your religion and your faith with being gay. And I don't think I'll ever forget her, even though I don't remember her name, because I saw her as such a successful person. Why would she struggle? And we all do, because it's something that we were raised in, and our religion is our culture. Mm-hmm. And I think we miss that. And it was nice to be in a group of people that had understood the struggle. Mm-hmm. And the Gay Christian Network is a weird group. I mean, as far as diversity goes, they have the groups that believe in celibacy, and they have the groups that have no problem with same-gender marriage, and they're open to the trans community. But they are able to meet and to agree to disagree on issues and just love each other and try to be a welcome Christian family together. And it was an amazing experience for me. We even got picketed by Westboro Baptist Church.
Wow, huh? They've been picketing a lot in Portland. They picketed my church in Portland, which is Metropolitan Community Church in Portland. And they picketed there, and I saw the post on Facebook. I think
that was the same weekend.
That was the same weekend, okay. That probably was then. Yeah, it's interesting, when I lived in Portland, how many churches in Portland are open. And in the LGBTQ community, it's within the faith community, it's called often Welcoming and Affirming. We're doing this interview, ironically, at St. Timothy's Episcopal Church, which is a church that's open to people who are LGBTQ. And Father Bernie is very welcoming. And part of why I attend here was because the first time I walked through the doors and came out to them, kind of whispered and was a little bit nervous about where I could attend church, they all hugged me. And it was really amazing to be in a faith community where people welcomed me regardless of what my sexuality or theirs is. So that's awesome. When did this happen?
That was in January.
January. And this is this a yearly thing that happens?
It's an annual thing. I believe it's in Houston next year.
Okay. So hot and humid versus cold and wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's it like in the winter there?
In Houston? I have never been. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I've not been to Texas.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
So it was a great experience. And I learned about a different thing. I don't know if it's okay to talk about it here today, but there's a new kind of church called a third way church. Okay. So you've got the welcoming and affirming, like the Episcopal Church is here in St. Timothy's and St. Matthew's in Gold Beach. And the third way church is where you're welcome to come. And other people might think that's not okay for you to have a relationship. And it's okay as long as you respect each other. So Danny Cortez was there, and his church had converted to a third way church. He was a Southern Baptist minister and got to be friends with a nice lesbian. And she really worked with him to try to understand another point of view. And the result of that was that she came back to church after leaving for several years, and their board voted to go ahead and allow gay people to be open and welcome. But then other people could disagree and think that they should be in a celibate relationship.
Yeah.
But they're allowed to have both ideas. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole new idea. I'd never heard of that before. And I really loved Danny's example. And if anybody's listening, I think it might be available online, but the point that he made was his friend was having coffee with him. And she looked at him and she said, "Danny, look at this guy over here." And he goes, okay, I want you to have a relationship with him. I want you to love him and care about him. And Danny looked at her with the most puzzled look. She goes, that's what you're asking me to do. She goes, it's as foreign to me as it is to you. And he started thinking about it, and it became a light bulb for him. And that as a minister, he needed to stop sending people to ex-gay ministries and start welcoming people and loving them and appreciating them. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge transformation for his family.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the founder of one of the ex-gay ministries that I attended actually hit on me at the Eagle in Portland a couple of years ago. So I really think that I'm not going to say his name on here because he was all over the news a few years ago. But it's just interesting how for years and years and years, people can be in denial or choose a celibate life because they're Christian or for whatever other religious reason or personal reason. And that's okay because we live in a thankfully, we live in a society where we have that choice to be who we are. And ultimately, my walk with Jesus and my walk with God isn't yours. You know, I'm responsible for me, thank goodness, because my own life has enough going on. I don't need to live somebody else's. It's very cool. I hope that there's more churches in the area. I know that the Nazarene church that I grew up in here in Brookings, I don't think they have one in particular, but there's a Nazarene ally group where these different ally groups where people within a church are kind of realizing this, that, you know, if we're really supposed to be about loving people, let's really be about loving people instead of, you know, finding things in their behavior that we don't agree with. Because if we take a magnifying glass out, we're going to find things in everybody that, you know, maybe is not something we agree with or not. And it's really not our place to have an opinion, I don't think, personally, from my understanding of the Bible. And I'm pretty familiar. Well, thank you for being here. Is there anything, any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, if you don't mind, you mentioned our governor, Kate Brown, being bisexual.
Yes.
And I have to admit that I think she has tremendous courage because she's married to a man. And so she could pretend that she's not bisexual. She could tell everybody, oh, that was my youth. It was just, you know, a fling back then, whatever it was. And, you know, being in a political spotlight, you get a lot of attention. And she could have just, you know, when she got married, said, oh, yeah, that's that part of me is gone. And she didn't do that. So I think she has a tremendous amount of courage to be able to admit that she's bisexual and be married to a man because you could hide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bisexual people that are with the same gender don't have that benefit, mm-hmm. but she would,
yeah.
And she's chose not to do that. And I have a lot of respect for her, even though I probably don't agree with a lot what she does politically. I do some. I think that takes an incredible mm-hmm. amount of courage, and there's been a huge spotlight put on her.
Mm-hmm.
So I do respect that. And if anybody ever wants to talk, PFLAG is always available. We have a group. It's available to talk to families or friends.
And how would people find out about that?
Easiest way to find us would be on Facebook.
Okay.
But we also have a website, and we have a phone number, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Maybe I could give it to you and we could post it on.
Absolutely. We could probably attach it to this podcast. And I'm sure if someone wants to contact KCIW and be put in contact with PFLAG, we can certainly, if someone's not on Facebook.
And I've been recently told I'm the welcome wagon because we have 3 new LGBT people in the community.
Oh, wow.
So I've invited them to come to Oxenfree.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you.
We'll have a picnic next month for PFLAG in Gold Beach. So.
Oh, wow. Do you have a date set for the picnic?
27th, I believe. It's Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Saturday.
And it'll be at Buffington June. Park.
Buffington Park in Gold Beach. PFLAG picnic. What time?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. So do you want to invite our listeners to the event at Oxenfree this month?
Yes, it's the 31st, 4 o'clock at Oxenfree. Oxenfree is a wonderful host or hostess of the event. They do a great job. You order off the menu, and sometimes they make special requests. They're very, very accommodating, and
yes.
I welcome everybody to come.
Awesome. Yeah, everyone's welcome. Oxenfree, last Sunday of every month at 4 o'clock. And you can follow the pictures. There's a lot of postings on Facebook as well about that. If you know of anyone who would like to share their story here on the LGBTQ Spotlight here on KCIW, if you'd like to make a donation to KCIW, we greatly appreciate, if you appreciate this programming, please make a donation. Help keep these podcasts coming. And if you know of anyone who would like to participate in making this dream of a community radio more of a reality. Thanks so much for listening to the LGBTQ Spotlight. I'm Scott Clapson here with Tammy Kaufman. Thank you so much, Tammy.
Thank you, Scott.
Have a wonderful day, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.